Ramsey TV.
Actually, something pretty cool happened today. Ladies and gentlemen, I actually made a decision today that was based on my knowledge of where we are on the Aeonian calendar. This knowledge I have of the timing of the return of Christ is not just theoretical. It is having a practical effect on my life, and I am making decisions accordingly. This is Martin Zender, making sense for a living, five days a week. Well, actually seven, but you just don't know about it on Saturday and Sunday because I don't broadcast live to you. I am here in my kitchen, my studio, my Crystal Cathedral here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, at the edge of the bottom of the peninsula. And yesterday my car wouldn't start. I could tell for two or three days it was like straining a little bit. But I'm thinking, I just got the battery not too long ago. I got it at Walmart. So anyway, yesterday it just... No, actually, it was today, yeah. Manfred gave me a jump yesterday. It held the jump for a little bit, but then no more. So I figured, okay, I think the battery's bad. So this morning, wouldn't start at all. Called the AAA. Guy came in, tested the battery, said... He got it started, but he said, yeah, your battery's shot, so just, where'd you get your battery? I said, Walmart. And he goes, take your car back to Walmart. I said, it'll keep running? Yeah, just don't stop it, dude. Don't stop the car until you get to Walmart. Okay, so I'm driving to Walmart, and I get to Walmart, and I'm buying my new battery, because guess what? I'm 2 months over the warranty. Of course, they must design these batteries to fail, like, soon after the warranty expires. I got a two-year warranty for this thing. That was 2 years and 5 months ago. See, I had no idea when I bought the battery. I'm not very organized, right? So I don't have any. I don't have the receipt or anything. I don't know what it is. Guy goes, is it a lifetime battery? I don't know. Did you get a warranty on it? I don't know. He says, well, just take it in. They'll scan the barcode. I go, well, why do I need a frickin' receipt then, things scan the barcode. So they scanned the barcode. Sure enough, I'm 5 months over the warranty. I got to buy a new battery. So the guy says, well, we got your standard issue 1 year warranty. We got your standard issue 2 year warranty. We got your standard issue 5 year warranty. And oh, I was excited to hear about that 5 year warranty. I was thinking, ooh, you know, and the difference was like $30. It went from maybe $60 for the El Crapo battery, $80 for the two-year warranty, and $95 for the five-year warranty. I really want that five-year warranty. I said, that'll teach that battery. But then I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm not going to be here in 5 years. So I'm doing the calculation. Okay, spring of 21. This is the winter of 19. I'm covered. A two-year warranty will take me. I love two, and I'll have room to spare. I believe, you know, the snatching away before the tribulation. So I said, give me the two-year warranty, please. And of course, they had no idea what I based my decision on. I didn't tell them. But after I did that, I was kind of tickled. It kind of thrilled me to realize I just made a real-life decision based on when I believe the kingdom is coming. I saved money. You're going to save lots of money if you start making decisions based on the kingdom coming in the spring of 2028, the tribulation starting in the spring of 2021, and us being snatched away before the tribulation starts in the spring of 2021. Yes, I'm going for it. I rolled the dice, baby. It's not that much of a roll of a dice. I don't know for sure about this, of course, the timing, but I am pretty sure. So there you have it. Let's talk about the new covenant, but before that, I want to thank everyone who contributes or has contributed or is contributing to this work. You're backing the right horse. This is the largest voice on the internet of the salvation of all message, of the gospel of Paul especially. This is the only YouTube channel that puts it all together. The eons, the sovereignty of God, the two evangels, the salvation of all, correct understanding of death. I mean, it's all here. And Thanks to you, I've got 11 books written, 400 newsletters, 1,400 videos on YouTube, which is more than, I would say, 95% of people on YouTube. That's a lot of views. I got told that even by people who had a lot of views. They're saying, 1,400? Dude, that's amazing. Well, it's because of you. You are backing the right horse. And I know if I was giving money to someone to keep doing what they're doing, I would want to hear that it's successful. I would want to hear that my money is going to a good cause and that things are happening. I mean, if I could share my emails with you, I get emails all the time of, it would seem to me overly self-serving if I published all the gushing emails that I get, but it is amazing. It's just flabbergasting, and new people coming in all the time. According to my statistics on YouTube, I get like 39 new subscribers every month. This is incredible. I'm almost up to 3,000 subscribers. I got 2,960. And I've gotten 500,000 views in the last year. So you're back on the right horse. Thank you for that. As I told you before, I don't make any money from my books. I mean, very, very little money. That money goes into the company to keep the website up, and I give away more books than I sell. That's a fact. Just ask Kelly. She's the business manager, you know, and you're giving away more books than we're selling. That's what I'm doing because I want people to have this information. I'm not in this to get rich, and you know that. So thank you for supporting me. And if anybody is not supporting and they want to, you don't have to. You don't have to. You can listen to the show for free. You can read my 400 newsletters for free. I have 500 audios, 400 newsletters, 500 audios, 1,400 videos, and 11 books. Everything's free except the books. You do have to buy the books because it costs us money to print them. But I don't make any money from the books. I make money to keep going, to keep doing this, to keep the lights on, to keep my computer running, to drive my car, to get this new battery so I could tell you this great tale. That comes from the generosity of you. It comes from the saints. And I love it when God does it that way. It's a little harrowing at times because of course it's uneven by nature because it's a freelance thing. And God takes people out, brings people in. It's just a living, breathing entity. If you want to be part of that entity, I will put a link down here to how you can contribute to this operation. Okay? There are several different ways. As I always say, I've never required a contribution. Never. You're not obligated at all to me. But I've also never turned one down. Never turned one down. Okay, let's talk about the New Covenant. Christianity loves the New Covenant. They love to talk about it. They get the chills whenever they talk about anything related to Israel. But here's a shock for them, and you'll see it in the title. The New Covenant hasn't even started yet. Wouldn't you like to make this statement at a Bible study and be able to back it up intelligently? Well, I'm going to tell you how to do that right now. People think that when Jesus came to earth, that was the beginning of New Covenant days. As soon as Matthew wrote the opening strains of Matthew, or as soon as Jesus Christ was born, it's New Covenant time. It's not. It's not. Do you remember the verse I gave you from Evansville, Indiana, Romans 15:8? Paul said concerning Jesus Christ that he became a minister of the circumcision, this is Romans 15:8, to confirm the patriarchal promises. That is, the promises God made to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those promises concerned a kingdom. Jesus came not to set up the kingdom, because obviously the kingdom was not set up. Obviously, something happened. I think you know what happened. There was a secret administration that nobody knew, nobody had prophesied about, that was to come in, that was to intervene between the announcement of the kingdom with the Messiah on the earth and the actual inauguration of the kingdom in the spring of 2028. Nobody knew about that. So the announcement of the kingdom is not the beginning of the New Covenant. Jesus came to confirm it. He says it's still on. God hasn't forgotten about it. A New Covenant is still on. But the New Covenant, as I record this message to you today, with my car outside with a new battery in it from Walmart, with my $81 battery with a 2-year warranty, which covers me, baby. I don't need any more than that. As I sit here before you today, the new covenant is still future. Let me read you a passage from the book of Hebrews. And I am in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to verse 11. And every chief priest indeed stands ministering day by day and offering often the same sacrifices, which never can take away sins from about us. Yet this one, capital O, when offering one sacrifice for sins, is seated to a finality at the right hand of God. Waiting furthermore, this book of Hebrews is all about waiting. It's all about a kingdom that was near but then was withdrawn. And Paul is writing this letter to his fellow Jews to comfort them and to explain to them what happened. Waiting furthermore till his enemies may be placed as a footstool for his feet. I believe that will happen at the inauguration of the kingdom. It will begin probably during the tribulation. For by one approach present, he has perfected to a finality those who are hallowed. Now the Holy Spirit also is testifying to us, for after having declared, quote, verse 16, Hebrews 10, this, and Paul is quoting Jeremiah 31:33. Okay, this is why the quotation marks are here in the concordant literal New Testament, which I'm reading from in verse 16 of Hebrews 10. This is the covenant which I shall be covenanting with them after those days. After those days, the Lord is saying, imparting my laws to their hearts. This is a description of the new covenant right here. Imparting my laws to their hearts, I shall be inscribing them on their comprehension also. And of their sins and their lawlessnesses shall I under no circumstances still be reminded. This is not yet happened, in case you haven't noticed, yet to Israel. Because they are still a sinning people. They still, as a nation, do not even recognize their Messiah. There's an Israelite here and an Israelite there who recognizes the Messiah, but the new covenant is not a good Israelite here and a good Israelite there. It is a new heart being given to the corporate nation. That is the new covenant. When the new covenant does come, nobody will have to ask, I wonder if the new covenant's here. Is the new covenant here? No, you won't have to ask because it'll be so evident. I quote that again. This is the covenant which I shall be covenanting with them after those days. Got it that time. Covenanting. Woo. I got it now. It's all greased up. After those days. A lot of Christians think that the new covenant started in the book of Acts. It didn't. Again, this was an announcement of Jesus as the Messiah. The new covenant can't start unless God puts his law on their hearts. It's going to be a miraculous outflow of the Spirit of God that's going to animate the nation Israel. And at that time, they will be the head and not the tail of all the nations. It will be unmistakable. Peter on Pentecost was announcing it. He was heralding it. Because remember what the disciples asked him before he ascended to heaven in Acts 1:6. Are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? Restoring the kingdom to Israel will happen simultaneously and contemporaneously with the inauguration of the new covenant. So the question then begs, is Israel now in the old covenant? That's a great question. The answer is this: no, they're not. Israel's not in the old covenant, and they're not in the new covenant. Then where are they? Read the book of Hebrews, or better yet, go to the new Martin Zender Dan Sheridan show and read my audio series on the book of Hebrews. There's probably 100 shows there on this topic. They are in a no man's land. They are in a desert. They don't have a temple. They don't have a temple of the past. They don't have a temple of the future. The next temple that will be built will be the false temple. They don't even have that. But that won't count anyway. So they are caught. They're in the middle. This is why the book of Hebrews was written. Especially chapter 11 talks about the heroes of faith who died having not received the promises. And so the Hebrews are being exhorted in the book of Hebrews to hold fast, to not forsake the assembling of themselves. And that assembling of themselves together in Hebrews 10, was it 10:25? That doesn't mean going to church. It means don't forsake the assembling. Don't forsake God calling from the north, south, east, and west, and bringing his true Israel into the land at the end of this eon, at the end of the tribulation. That is the assembling of themselves together. Jesus, when he was on earth, said, "How I long to assemble you." Same word used there as is used in Hebrew, as a mother hen assembles her brood, yet you would not. This assembling that they're not to forsake is not going to church. It's don't give up the fact that God is going to assemble you. Don't give up the fact that the new covenant is yet future. God is not slack concerning his promises. Ooh, if anybody needed to hear that word, after the kingdom had been withdrawn and Paul's ministry started, it was the Hebrews of that era. They needed that word desperately, not to forsake it, to hold on to it, and that they would probably die having not received the promises. So today, if you're a person of faith, you are either a Hebrew in waiting, that is, you are an Israelite or a proselyte of Israel, that is, someone with an antenna to hear the Israelite message, and you're in waiting. You're not a New Covenant Christian. You're a displaced Hebrew-type person waiting for the New Covenant to come on your people as a nation. That's what you're waiting for. You're either that, or you're in the body of Christ. If anybody has an antenna for it out there, I know many of my listeners already have. They've already received the broadcast. They've already picked up the frequency that Paul is broadcasting at, and that I'm dialed into the same frequency Paul put out back in the first century and others have put out since then. We're dialed in. We've checked it out. We know what the frequency is. We get it right. We get rid of all the extraneous crap away from it, and we broadcast a pure signal. And you have an antenna for that signal. You've picked it up. You get it. Other people don't. They're either unbelievers or perhaps they're hearing the Israelite message that's broadcasting at a different frequency. That's AM. See, that's AM. Circumcision is an AM broadcast. The body of Christ is an FM broadcast. Because the AM broadcast and the Israelite message, it kind of goes along with talk radio, whereas the Body of Christ message definitely goes hand in hand with classic rock.